cross when morning work bells chime. Praise him for bits of overtime. Praise him whose bloody wars we fight. Praise him, fat leech and parasite. Ah, hell.
Hello, and welcome to another installment of DJ Microbrew's FSK Corporate Media. I'm your host, DJ Microbrew, and here is another installment.
You started off, break out the ammunition. If not enough, you're pulling up my friends. Grabs the keys and tells me that she's out of patience. And tells her friends what a loser I've been. The walls go up. The telephone is waiting to get shut off if it happens again. Been building up, or just been overrating. Time and my sanity spent. I don't wanna stand here to say I'm sorry. I just wanna drink beer and play Atari. You can't tell your mom how I'll make my money. I don't care. Later on, my clothes are in the front yard. The tapes I made are all in a mess. I kinda left. New selection, I got your dead John Tesh. I don't wanna stand here to say I'm sorry. I just wanna drink beer and play Atari. You can't tell your mom I won't make my money. I don't care. The world outside is cold, man. It's gone forever. I get high in hindsight. It's getting better. Save your breath, your threats won't hurt me in mind.
Just wanna drink beer and play Atari. You can tell your mom how I make my money. I don't care. The world outside is cold, man. It's gone forever. I get high in hindsight. It's getting better. Save your breath, your threats won't hurt me.
And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Media Minutes, a weekly review of news relating to the intersection of media and democracy. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Kimberly Cronick.
Growing conservative attacks on U.S. public broadcasting has some of the public up in arms and calling for a house cleaning. Much of the criticisms focused on the chairman of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, Kenneth Tomlinson. The CPB is a major source of funding for public radio and TV stations, so Tomlinson and the Republican majority on the CPB board wield a lot of power over the networks as a whole. Tomlinson stands accused of orchestrating a campaign with the help of staff in the White House to smear NPR and PBS programs and personalities with the brush of liberal bias. But Jeff Chester, executive director of the Center for Digital Democracy, says every time Tomlinson's tried to find evidence of this liberal bias, he's come up short. In 2002 and 2003, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting conducted several surveys and focus group sessions to gauge public perceptions about public broadcasting, and the results were not what Tomlinson expected.
The overwhelming majority of Americans don't perceive any bias on NPR or PBS. Indeed, PBS is the most highly rated of all the television networks in terms of confidence from the public.
Specifically, more than half those polled found PBS and NPR news to be more trustworthy than news from other TV and radio networks. Majorities also found both PBS and NPR to be, quote, fair and balanced. Focus group sessions held in 2003 were even comprised exclusively of people who believed that public broadcasting has a liberal bias. But by and large, hardly any focus group members could cite specific examples of bias in public radio or TV programming. So the CPB simply mothballed the results of its research. Chester found this information buried deep inside a CPB report to Congress. The legislation that created the Corporation for Public Broadcasting contains a provision requiring it to remain nonpartisan. Several public interest groups have called for Tomlinson's resignation, claiming he's violated the anti-partisan provision. There's also been a call for nationwide public hearings on public broadcasting, the idea being to build up grassroots opposition to CPB leadership. But Chester's not sure just how effective that tactic may be.
Defending the status quo at PBS is not really going to improve the quality of the U.S. media environment. I mean, after all, if we put a tremendous amount of energy in, what do we get? More antique roadshows and the occasional frontline?
In related news, the new president and CEO of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is not a viewer or listener like you. Ken Faree, the former architect of the FCC's failed crusade in 2003 to allow more consolidation among newspapers, radio, and TV stations, recently told the New York Times he doesn't watch much public television and never listens to public radio.
Last month, Intel made headlines for being the first chip maker to announce that its future products would be WiMAX compliant. The term WiMAX refers to a new generation of wireless networking technology that operates at high power levels, as much as 25 times what current Wi-Fi networks use. Sasha Meinrath, a project coordinator with the Champaign-Urbana Community Wireless Network, says Wi-Fi and WiMAX were initially supposed to operate on separate chunks of the radio spectrum.
And then in January of 2003, the industry groups introduced an amendment to the standard. And what this means now is that these two technologies, Wi-Fi and WiMAX, which used to be complementary and non-overlapping, now overlap completely.
That's a troublesome change because wireless networking at low power levels has advantages over a high power system. Current Wi-Fi technology is cheap and plentiful enough so that networks can be constructed by end users directly.
WiMAX itself is really set up as a hub and spoke technology where you have a central tower, let's say, and a lot of receivers like cell phones.
Meinrath says the standard setting process is not very transparent. He tried contacting the WiMAX Forum, whose members include more than 100 corporations ranging from electronics manufacturers to phone companies, about becoming involved in the debate, but quickly learned he couldn't afford the price of admission.
You have to just pay a token fee of $10,000 a year to be a part of this alliance.
Ultimately, what once might have extended the usefulness of wireless networking is now being developed as a ploy to get consumers to buy more and newer gadgetry.
The goal of industry is to have a timeline for obsolescence of old technologies. Not that they're bad, but rather that you can have everyone buy the new technology.
There is no clear timetable for the development and deployment of WiMAX technology, although a consensus estimate places its debut sometime in 2006.
You've been listening to Media Minutes, a joint production of the Illinois Initiative for Media Policy Research at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization dedicated to media democracy. For more information, visit our website at freepress.net.
song is called Steal This Song. You'll see why.
Corporate media, corporate music, corporate government, fuck all of y'all. Corporate media, corporate music, corporate government, fuck all of y'all. Who do you pay to hear a song? Does the real author get a dime? Who get the rights of the real creators? Fuck all of y'all. Corporate media, corporate music, corporate government, fuck all of y'all. Corporate media, corporate music, corporate government, fuck all of y'all. Music, like art, like truth, shall set you free. Music, like art, like truth shall set you free. Corporate media, corporate music, corporate government, fuck all of y'all. Corporate media, corporate music, corporate government, fuck all of y'all. Who pays them to give that slant? Who bought up the airwaves? Whose child is head of the FCC? Fuck him. Corporate media, corporate music, corporate government, fuck all of y'all. Corporate media, corporate music, corporate government, fuck all of y'all. Who sold out the public trust? Wasn't there a comment? Weren't we oven buying for the people? Fucking A, fuck them thugs. Rhymes with drugs. Corporate media, corporate music, corporate government, fuck all of y'all. Corporate media, corporate music, corporate government, fuck all of y'all. Music, like art, like truth, shall set you free. Music, like art, like truth, shall set you free. Ha ha ha. Corporate media, corporate music, corporate government, fuck all of y'all. Corporate media, corporate music, corporate government, fuck all of y'all. Spoil everything. Why are the best things in life not free? Why can't I give away all my wares? Why won't the government let me be? Corporate media, corporate music, corporate government, fuck all of y'all. Corporate media, corporate music, corporate government, fuck all of y'all. Corporate media, corporate music, corporate government, fuck all of y'all. Corporate media, corporate music, corporate government, fuck all of y'all.
Jefferson. rolling in his grave. Tell me, who are the Nazis now? Who are the Nazis? Who are the Nazis? Who are the Nazis now, right now? Who are the Nazis? Who are the Nazis? Who are the Nazis now?
Ford built tanks for the Nazis. Nazis used those tanks to gun down lots of soldiers in the U.S. Army ranks. Yes, Henry Ford was a fascist, and a nasty one was he. He built tanks for anyone for the proper fee. Henry Ford spoke to his lackeys, and he said, isn't this great? We'll attack our enemy, and we'll retaliate. Yes, Henry Ford was a fascist, and a cunning liar, too. Brown shirt with a swastika draped in red, white, and blue. Henry Ford spoke to his workers, and he said, you dare not strike. You must be patriotic and take on my Third Reich. Yes, Henry Ford was a fascist, and he had not a care about the dying soldiers that made him a billionaire. Ford built tanks for the Nazis, and he built many more to kill off lots of peasants in Peru and Salvador. Yes, Henry Ford was a fascist. I heard that when he died, the last words to leave his lips was Arbeit macht frei. The dollar was his icon on whichever shore, and Henry's only motto was make money and make war. Yes, Henry Ford was a fascist, that's all I have to say. I will spit on Henry's rotting grave until my dying day. Yes, Henry Ford was a fascist, that's all I have to say. I will spit on Henry's rotting grave until my dying day.
I guess a lesson here to learn is don't ever call 911 unless you want somebody to die. Because that seems to happen all too often when you call those idiots who don't know how to deal with situations like this. And I'm sorry if I sound angry, but this kind of thing just pisses me off so much to see it happen over and over again. We called the police because Johnny forgot to take his medication and started yelling and screaming. That, according to a friend of his, whose name I can't find. First, Daryl Harris, that's it. Daryl Harris, a Brentwood resident whose grandmother lives in the house. He punched a hole through a bedroom door and was telling us he was God. And it just seems so appropriate to play with all the Pope news recently. But that was then, and this is now, and it's not as appropriate anymore. Yeah, the new Pope is installed. He was successfully installed, no errors. And we look forward to a reign of Pope Benedict XVI, and that should be historic. But more important history, I was looking in the paper the other day and noticing that George Steinbrenner is getting really angry at the Yankees for losing. I love it. I love it when rich, fat idiots get upset because their money isn't working for them. And that's really what it's all about, you know. Looking at, you know, the Yankees have finished in first place 7 years in a row. That gets me angry for some reason. It just does. I don't know why. I was very happy when the Red Sox won because they were the underdogs. They have some real spirit behind them and not nearly as much money. And it just seems like the Yankees try to buy it every time. The last time the Yankees finished in last place, I was looking at this, because they're in last place right now. They're actually tied for last place, which is kind of cool. But the last time they actually finished in last place was 1990, which actually is a lot more recent than I thought it would be. They finished with a record of 67-95. That's a winning percentage of .414. Okay, now the time before that, when they finished in last place, that was 1966. They had a record of 70-89, a winning percentage of .440. And you know what? That's it. Those are the only two times in the history of the Yankees that they finished in last place. Now, yeah, there were a couple of times before that when they were known as the New York Highlanders, and they really sucked then. In 1912, they finished 50 and 102. And in 1908, they finished 51 and 103. So that that was really awful. So the worst winning percentage that they have ever had as the Yankees was, I guess, back in 1990, 414. So my goal this year is to do everything I can to see that they beat that record. You know, they're in last place now. Let's see if we can keep that up. Let's shoot for 300 winning percentage, you know? Like those good old Highlander days. You know, a little variety. When they win every year, when they finish in first place every year, that's not fun. It's boring. Let's see a catastrophe. Let's see them lose so many games that Steinbrenner has a complete conniption, fires everybody, maybe even himself somehow. And everybody is just thrown into turmoil. It's the same reason I wish for the stock market to do all kinds of crazy things.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me. Hello, Houston.
You betcha. We're glad to have you back. You were accused of inciting a riot and resisting arrest and all that stuff. And last time we talked to you, your court case was pending. But I found out about it fast, too, because they wrote about you in the New York Times last week. Isn't that right?
Right, right. They put it right on the front page, top fold, right underneath the picture of Mr. Cerrone and Mr. Bush.
Yeah, tell us why it made the New York Times, because there was something very interesting that happened at a recess at your case.
Well, yeah, what had happened was the officers took the stand and for 2.5 hours accused me of kicking and behaving violently and said that it had taken 4 officers, him included, and 3 others to carry me across the street to the paddy wagon. And then after he was done testifying, we offered a videotape into evidence, and interestingly enough, the district attorney had never made a request for evidence, so he never even asked for any of the evidence we were going to offer. That's why it came in so late. And we gave it to him after the officer testified. It was obvious that the officer wasn't even in the videotape himself, and the district attorney invited the officer back after that day's work in the courthouse and asked him if he could find himself in the videotape, and he couldn't.
I guess for me, in a way, the internet for me was... It was a great tool in 94, 95. I suddenly found it gave me a voice. Where I was a protester, normally that meant just shoving leaflets in people's hands. The web was suddenly a fantastic way I could reach, you know, potentially thousands, if not millions of people. And I have been lucky. I mean, through running the site, bizarrely, you know, I ended up getting work as a web designer, as a photographer, and as a writer. So, you know, I mean, it's not exactly phenomenally paid jobs, but, you know, I managed to survive on it. So I figure, well, you know, the Urban 75 has given me a livelihood of sorts. Indirect their livelihood, and I've met top chums, and you know, it's I guess it's also a passion. When the web first started, this is what I thought it could be. You know, I thought it'd all be that, and then the hideous adverts, the brought to you by in association with stuff started, and it's almost now like a sort of dogmatic point. I don't want this site to have adverts, and you know, I want people, you know, I guess maybe kids, to look at the site and realize that, unlike most sort of major festivals now, it's not brought to you in association with anyone. You know, you don't have to have commercial sponsorship to make something that's good. So I guess that's part of it, and the other half is obsession, I guess. I like it, I do it, and for me it's just rewarding. It's an outlet for my photography, for my writing, and, you know, for what creative skills I've got.
Urban 75 Radio.
Object to the burn of the sun, or being drenched by the rain. All the hours that I DIY out of it, come back and dance in my heart with despair. I shame myself out of summer these days.
I mean, I think the web is absolutely amazing for musicians. I mean, when I was in bands, I mean, one band, we worked on this crap job forever to get a 12-inch single pressed, most of which still resides in an attic in Maida Vale, as I recall. I mean, for bands trying to get noticed now, it's a fucking amazing tool because you can just slap your MP3 up and then basically spend all your money on promotion, just do leaflets, hassle people, you know, build a really good website. I think for bands, it gives them a wonderful autonomy away from record companies who I could bore how much I hate them because, you know, when I was in bands, we had major record deals and they never, you know, we recorded albums that never saw the light of day because of record company wrangling. I think the web is a fantastic tool for musicians. I think it's one of the best things.
The future is no longer in your imagination.
Fostering an open forum.
Never heard anything like it before.
Urban 75 Radio.
I do this song from 42 years ago that some of you may have heard or one or two of you might remember.
Well, I'm just a typical American boy from a typical American town. I believe in God, send or die, and keeping old Castro down. And when it came my time to serve, I knew better dead than red. But when I got to my old draft board, buddy, this is what I said. Sarge, I'm only 18, you got a ruptured spleen and always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat, my feet are flat, my asthma's getting worse. Oh, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm going to school and I'm working in the defense plant. I got a disc, get a disc, and a racked up back. I'm allergic to flowers and bugs. When the bombshell hits, get epileptic fits. I'm addicted to 1,000 drugs. I got the weakness woes. I can't touch my toes. I can hardly reach my knees. And if the enemy came close to me, I'd probably start to sneeze. Sarge, I'm only 18. You got a ruptured spleen and always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat. My feet are flat. My asthma's getting worse. Oh, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm going to school and I'm working in a defense plan. Well, I hate you and lie, hope he dies, but one thing you gotta see is that someone's gotta go over there and that someone isn't me. So I wish you well, Sarge, give them hell, yeah, kill me 1,000 or so. And if you ever get a war without blood and gore, I'll be the first to go. Sarge, I'm only 18, you got a ruptured spleen and always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat, my feet are flat, my asthma's getting worse. Oh, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm going to school and I'm working in a defense plan.
Coming with juice?
No.
Thank you.
Are you going to team up with somebody to market your product? Your IP?
No.
And how will you cash in on it?
Oh. Well, I'm not worried about cashing in on it. Oh, okay. I want to enable people to make outlines that then can be shared, you know, between, put on the internet and then linked with each other.
So it'd be like a freeware?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not worried right off the bat how to make money with it. I'm not really, you know, thinking about that. I'm thinking about, I just want to sort of create, sort of like you've got, you know, RSS is good for time-based information.
No, she's interested.
And outlines are good for knowledge. You know, and for you know, how things relate to each other, and how people's work relates to other people's work, and stuff
will
like that.
Will this be usable on the Macintosh?
Both Mac and PC. And I'd like to get it for Unix too, because if we could get it for Unix, then it would run on things like this Arcos, and that would be nice to be able to take the outliner with you.
Don't things that run on Windows run on Unix also?
No.
Program.
Oh, there are, yeah, but that's, yeah. Some programs, there are emulators. But emulation isn't, maybe that works. I don't know. That would work.
Is the Macintosh operating system related in any way to Unix?
Oh, yeah. It is Unix. Underneath it, it is Unix. Underneath all the icons and menus and stuff like that, yeah. It's Unix plus a lot. So it's a special flavor, proprietary flavor of Unix.
And, you know, there's something brewing here. There really is. And
stay tuned. What? Paris Hilton's podcast begins on April 29th.
Gotcha. Hey, if you want a real podcast, if that's what you even call it, go to http://www.thepentagon.com/podcasting.